verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Excuse me, I woke up with quite a dose this morning, but we'll get there. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and we're commencing a reading at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company with him, he said unto Peter, or Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea rose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Amen. And God will attain. We have the parallel portion on this incident on the Sea of Galilee. And we need to look at 2 Gospels in order to get the fuller account. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. And God will add his blessing to his word. There is no time in the Christian life when we're in trouble or in trial that the words of verse 27 are not precious to the believer. And I believe the Lord brings these words to his people in times of trouble and in times of storm. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. The Christian life is not an easy life. The Lord tells us, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So if you're a child of God today, and you haven't come to a time in your life of tribulation, of trial, can I assure you, on the authority of God's word, it will come. The Lord has told us it will come, so expect it. Many times people come into they get saved, and some trial comes along, and then they start to wonder, well, why should this happen to me? But the Lord has already told us, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So many people are so surprised. Why? Maybe they have thought the Christian life is a bed of roses. Well, they were wrongly informed. Yes, it is the best life. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Yes, you have the joy of sins forgiven. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God is your comforter and your guide day by day, and the Word of God is a great comfort. But that's not to say there won't be those times of trouble and those times of storm. But how wonderful it is at those times to hear the words of comfort from the Lord himself. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Now, disciples, in this particular instance, were on the Sea of Galilee. Many of them were experienced fishermen. Now, the Sea of Galilee is in a very strange geographical position. It's in like a little basin surrounded by mountains. And in a very short time, storms and severe storms can blow up within literally minutes. I suppose, in a way, Loch Ness is a little like that. Loch Ness may be down the road a little, but it can be a very dangerous place. You can head out, I've not been on it, but apparently you can head out in very calm water, and within a very short space of time, it can be stormy, choppy, and very dangerous. Now, some of these disciples this evening, they were seasoned fishermen. The Lord had called them from their nets to come and to serve him. They had called them to come and be fishers of men. They had great experience, not just in boating, not just in sailing, but on that particular lake. And yet, in the midst of this storm, they were driven almost to despair. The passage of Scripture that we've read today is an instance where these children of God faced the storm. And as they faced the storm, we will face a storm too. And I often say to the congregation in Castlederg, if you and I cannot, as a child of God, experience peace in the midst of a storm, our life will never be at peace. It's not the fact that storms will come, and they will, and God will solve the storm and calm the storm, and then we'll have peace. If we cannot have peace in the midst of that storm, then we will go, as a Christian life is, from one crisis and one storm to another, and we will have no peace at all. And it is important for the child of God to grasp that there can be peace even when the storm rages. Peace in the midst of the storm. Some people think, well, this is a hard trial I'm going through. If only I was over. If only it was sorted out, everything would be fine. But the Lord is able to give us peace right in the midst of that storm. And if you're in a storm today in your life, maybe there are troubles, there are trials, maybe nobody knows anything about them. If you're in that storm today, that storm doesn't have to blow over. God doesn't have to calm the storm for you to experience His peace. We'll come to it in a moment. But these words, "It is I, be not afraid," that brought peace to the heart of the disciples. But they were still in the storm. It's a long time later before we read that the waves settled and the wind calmed down. And these disciples, even in the midst of that storm, they had the presence of the Savior. And they had His peace within their heart. The storm raged just as wild as it had been going. And yet they were at peace because the Lord was with them. There's that little chorus that the boys and girls sometimes sing, "With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm." As we get older, sometimes we think that's a bit simplistic. Maybe we think, well, that's all right for children. But we are big now, and that doesn't really happen like that. It's as true for children, and it's as true for adults. And we need to grasp this truth today, that we can have peace, even in the midst of the storm and of the trial. And what a difference Jesus makes. What a difference it is when He comes into the storm. And when He's there in His presence, He shows Himself to us as He showed Himself to the disciples. What a wonderful thing it is to have His comfort and His words. "Be not afraid, it is I." Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this storm is the prelude to the storm, or what comes before it. The situation. What happened that day? Now, this was the evening time, and the Lord had told His disciples, "Get into the boat and go across to the other side." But I want you to notice what had happened on that day. It had been a tremendous day for the disciples. They had witnessed the Savior preach and teach to great multitudes. A crowd of 5,000 men had gathered. 5,000 men besides women and children. Even if half of them were men, you might have been talking 8,000-10,000. A wonderful crowd. I'm sure the disciples thought, this is revival. And the Lord preached and He taught. And if that hadn't been enough, at the end of it, the Lord had said, "You know, I have compassion on the multitude. I don't want to send them away hungry except they faint by the way. We need to feed them." And with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, He fed 5,000 men, besides women and children. He didn't give them just a little morsel each. They were fed and they were satisfied. If ever there had been doubt in the disciples' mind that this one whom they followed and this one whom they served was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, any doubt was gone that day. This is none other than the Son of God. Who could feed 5,000 in such a manner? And they were on what we would call a spiritual mountaintop. They had a day, you know, those, maybe you think back sometime, there was a great meeting in the church and the Lord's presence was so near and your heart was filled. Well, that's the way the disciples were. As far as the Christian life was concerned, they were there right up on the very top of the mountain. And that day was drawing to a close. It seemed that the day had been perfect. Many times people had rejected the Savior and wouldn't listen. But here now, 5,000 men besides women and children were listening to Him. He had fed them all. They were filled with joy. And the Lord had allowed them to be part of the miracle. The Lord, He did the miracle. He changed and multiplied the loaves to feed. But He allowed the disciples to be part of the distribution. And it's a wonderful thing for children of God to be part of God's work. We must always in God's work remember that it is not us that does it. We are laborers together with God. He does the work. But in his love and his mercy, he allows us to do something for him. And there's something that you can do in the church for him. There is always work to be done for God. But we almost must remember, it is he who does the work. It is his power that brings salvation to the soul. But it's a great privilege to be part of that work. To give that invitation to bring people to the meeting. To speak a word for the Master. And always look for that opportunity to do that. And so these disciples were on the top of the mountain. They had a taste of heaven. There with great crowds worshipping and honouring the Lord. The Lord doing great miracles. Everything was wonderful. And yes, it was a taste of heaven that day. But suddenly the moonlight vanished and the blackness descended. And the waves arose. And as the disciples were in that little boat, they were tossed about in every direction. A perfect day had turned into a complete nightmare. What a lesson this is for the child of God. When we come to a mountaintop experience, very often we come to the valley. Now, if you know anything about the Mourne Mountains, they rise up majestically right to the top. But you can't go to a higher mountain till you come down into the valley and then you go up again. And so it is in the Christian life. We cannot stay on the top of this mountain and not go down if we want to climb a higher mountain and go on with God and be drawn closer to Himself. And very often after a time of great blessing, there are times of great trial. And even in that, we must remember that no evil comes from the Lord. There will be times when the Lord will permit hard things and storms to come into our lives. But always remember, they're for our good. They're always to draw us closer to Himself. They're always to teach us something, to help us to lean more upon Him. We don't learn to lean upon the Lord, except we have to. Now, we should lean upon the Lord even when we don't feel we have to. But the fact of life is, unless our back's against a wall, we don't lean upon the Lord. Unless the Lord sometimes pulls the feet from under us and we have nowhere else to turn. I remember when I went into college, it was many years ago now, in the early 90s, and I had given up my work and my wife had got a job in the hospital. I started college, was only there about 2 weeks. And suddenly she came home one Friday and she came home one Monday and said, I have no work. Work's finished. It was temporary. She said, I have no work after Friday. And I had no work, I'd given it up. And if you know anything about the Whitfield College, you have to pay for the privilege of going. They don't pay you to go. You have to pay for the privilege of going. And we didn't know what we were going to do. And of course, we didn't know what to do. But we had to pray. And you know, the Lord, I still remember that week, day after day, Tuesday. And we didn't know what was going to happen next week. Wednesday, still nothing. Thursday, Janet's last, I think her shift's finished on the Thursday. Her day off was on a Friday. What are we going to do about next week? And that was a time, it was hard, but that was a time that we had to learn to lean upon the Lord. On the Friday, He let us go right to the wire. And the Lord will let you go to the wire at times. But He'll not let you down. And on a Friday morning, Janet said, we need to go into town, we need bread. Something, bread or milk, you know the things that you need. Or maybe some of us don't need too much. So. And we went into town, and coming out of Portadown, Janet just said, there's a new nursing home opened up at the end of that wee estate. Sure, pull in and I'll go and ask. So we pulled in and found it. And about 5 minutes later, she came out with a white piece of paper. She said, I have an interview at 2 o'clock today. And I said, well, that's good. The Lord's answering prayer. And then went home. We had our bread. I went back at 2 o'clock. And she came out about 2:30. I got the job. I start on Monday morning. No gap. But if the Lord hadn't allowed us, or hadn't pulled our own resources from under us, we would never have learned to lean. That's a lesson that keeps coming back to us. A lesson that was maybe in one sense hard learned at the time, but a lesson that has stayed to us, and a lesson that has lifted us up and caused us to trust in the Lord more than we had before. And that's why the Lord will allow these things to happen in our lives. Maybe there's some situation that you're in at the minute and you have nowhere to turn to. Well, you turn to the Lord. You learn to lean upon Him. You know, so much today people talk about coping, and coping with this and coping with that, and it's all coping, or I can't cope, or I just can't quite. The Lord doesn't ask His children to cope with life. The Lord asks His children to lean upon Him for the strength for life. It's not coping you need to do, it's leaning and trusting. That's the essence. You see, when you're coping, you're looking at your own resources. You're depending on yourself. But when you're leaning, you're leaning upon the everlasting arm. What a wonderful place that is to be. The Savior knew the storm awaited the disciples. But He didn't tell them. Right throughout this perfect day, when the 5,000 were fed, and they had been part of the miracle, He knew that in the middle of the night, they would be in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and a storm would erupt that would cause them to fear for their life. But the Lord didn't tell them. He could have. Now you just imagine, there they were. Revival, in a sense, had just happened. There was this great miracle. And if the Lord had said to His disciples in the midst of the distribution of the food, now I want you to come over here. I want to tell you just now, so you're not afraid when it comes, I want to tell you what's going to happen tonight. I'm going to send you across the sea. I'm going to go up into the mountain to pray. I'm going to send you across in the sea. And when you're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, the worst storm that you could ever imagine is going to blow up. And you're going to fear for your lives. Would they have enjoyed the rest of that day? Their mountaintop would have become the greatest valley. You know, some people wonder why the Lord doesn't tell us what's going to happen in the future. Isn't it a good thing He doesn't? If you and I knew what was going to happen tomorrow, very often we wouldn't be able to live today. If you knew today, if you knew a year ago what was going to happen to you in the past year, how would you have lived the past year? In absolute panic and terror, knowing something was going to happen. So the Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. He holds back from us those things that would disturb us. And He always does that for our good. The world looks in the other direction. The world looks to horoscopes. You'll find them. Well, I'm not telling you where to find them, but you know where they are. Don't let it be said that somebody from the pulpit showed you or told you how to find a horoscope. What I will say is you will come across them, maybe every day. Don't even read them for a laugh. Have no truck with the devil's prediction. These stargazers and these astrologers are of the devil. And no child of God should have anything to do with them. You can't play with fire and not be burned. I don't believe they're true. But again, I don't underestimate the power that Satan has. But have nothing to do with them. Don't even read it. Now, if you did happen to read it and say, oh, that's very funny, such, as you live your life that day, well, right enough, and you'd be trying to work it all out. And what it said would colour how you lived and what you did and what you said. Who's guiding you now? Is it this book? Better to read this book in the morning and be guided by it. But the Lord holds back things that will happen to us in the future to be gracious to us. And he did that with the disciples. Although he held back this information, he did something more wonderful. He prepared them spiritually for what was going to happen. Now, he didn't tell them exactly what was going to happen, but he filled them full of faith in what he could do. He showed them that day in an unmistakable way how powerful he was. He showed them that he could literally do anything by the word of his mouth. So that in the middle of the next night, they would know that the same God whom they loved and served was able to do and sort them out at that time. Storms will come. But what a blessing it is to know our Father planned it all. I'll sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust him whatever befalls. I'll sing, for I cannot be silent. My Father planned it all. Now there are times we'll not be able to say that, sing that from the bottom of our heart. There will be those times. And I'm very aware in the ministry, when I sit down with someone in trouble, I very frequently quote that verse, all things work together for good to them that love God. And I believe it. And when I'm quoting it to them, I believe it firmly. But when I'm in trouble, and don't believe it or not, ministers do get into trouble. And we do have our heartaches and we do have our burdens just like everybody else. And I can be in that position that somebody in the congregation was in the day before. And I'm always aware that it's easier for me to say to someone, all things work together for good, than for me to hear it when I'm in trouble. But it's just as true. That's the prelude to the storm. I want you to notice the perplexity of the storm. When suddenly the storm erupted, it was unexpected. I'm sure the disciples wondered, why has this happened? Surely the Lord knew the storm was coming. And then they started to think, well, you know, we didn't decide to go across the sea on our own. We read there in John 6:45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. So they weren't wandering off on their own and landed in trouble. Now, that can happen. If you wander away from the Lord and land in trouble, well, you've only yourself to blame, and often we do that. But this was an instance where they were in perfect obedience to the Lord. The Lord had sent them across the sea at the particular time. He constrained them. He left them in no doubt. I want you to get into this boat, and I want you to go across the water. And I'm sure they thought, we have obeyed the Lord. He couldn't be punishing us for something, because we haven't. Their conscience was clear before the Lord. Why has this happened to us? And very often, when trials or trouble comes, we do question ourselves. And we wonder, why is this happening? Have I done something wrong? And before the Lord, we can't think of anything. But there are instances when the Lord will permit storms, not because of sin, but just as a means of drawing us closer to himself. As a means of pulling the rug from under us so that we learn to trust him and learn to lean upon him. This was one of these cases. I'm sure they wondered, where is he? He has sent us out. Why didn't he come with us? He sent us out into the middle of this lake. The sea has gone crazy. The wind is howling. We're likely to be killed. Where is he? But how wrong they were. Before they entered into the boat, what was the Lord doing? He was praying for them. As the storm blew up, and as they became frightened, where was he? He was in the midst of the storm with them. Now they couldn't see him, but he was there. As far as they were concerned, they were in the safest place in the storm. They were in the boat. Now they might have fallen about in the boat, but they didn't fall out. But the Lord, he himself was in the worst part of the storm. And in fact, in the worst part of the storm, he was coming to aid them. When you and I are in a storm, do we ever wonder where the Lord is? Have you been tempted to question him? Tempted to even to say, where is he? But in the storm, he's praying for us because he ever lives to make intercession for us. He has mentioned your name and mine at the throne of grace even this day and continues to do so day after day after day. Wonderful thought. And when we're in the storm, we're not alone in it. He's there in the midst of it with us. Sometimes we say, does he not know we're weary? Does he not know we're exhausted? Does he not know we can't take any more? He knows just how much you can take. And he'll come at the right time. And he did come to the disciples' aid at the right time. He came before they were overwhelmed. But I want you to notice, as the Lord was coming to them walking on the water, this was the answer to their problems. The Lord was there. And as they saw him coming, they thought it was a ghost. Now, I could confidently say they had never seen a ghost before, because ghosts don't exist. But that they thought it was a ghost. And then they were all more frightened. Sometimes the solution coming in a problem looks as if it's going to make the whole thing worse. Many times have you been in a problem and then you suddenly hear this has happened or this is going to happen. And you think, well, it's all lost now. And yet that very thing turns out to be the solving of it. And this was the case with the disciples. In the storm, it was a great time of perplexity. They had many questions. They couldn't understand. But all the time the Lord was praying for them. And the Lord was there in the midst of the storm with them. And you always remember that when storms come. The Lord is with us in the midst of it. And there he is praying for us. And finally, notice the peaceful conclusion. As the Savior came to them to rescue them, he walked on the waters. He wasn't going through the waters. The waters didn't lap over his feet and ankles or up to his knees. He was always on the top of the storm. He was always in absolute control. Everything was under his feet. The storm was under his feet. He was in absolute control. He had absolute power. He had absolute authority. And as he comes to the disciples, he said, "It is I. Be not afraid." That's in the midst of the storm, because that happens, verse 27 of Matthew. "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." It's away to verse 32, before the waves calm down and before the wind settles. So there was peace for these disciples, even though the boat continued to rock. When they knew the Lord Jesus Christ was with them, when they knew he was there. And what's the proof of that? What about Peter? Peter's fears were calmed because he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you walking on the water." Now, that's not a man who's afraid of the storm anymore. Peter had got peace. He had peace, such peace and such faith in the Lord that he did step out. Now, I know he faltered and started to sink. But he would not have started out on his journey across those waves had his fears not been calmed completely by the presence of the Lord and by his word when he came walking on the waters. But the wind still howled. Because, look at Peter. He came walking on the water, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. So the wind was still as bad. The sea was still as bad. but he was calm enough to take the Lord at his word. Peter's storm was still there, but Peter had peace in the midst of that storm. Whatever storm you're in your life today, you don't have to count the days till the storm is over to have the peace of God ruling in your heart. If you would but listen, and if I would but listen to the words of the Lord today, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. When you're in a storm and you can't sort it out, if you know that God can, if you have the confidence in him that he who fed the 5,000 can sort your storm, he who calmed the waves and the wind can sort the waves and the wind in your life. If you have that confidence in God, then you can have peace. And it doesn't matter if the waves get taller. It doesn't matter if the wind gets stronger. Remember, your Lord is still walking upon the top of it because he's in control and he's in absolute authority. You know he's in control. It's like a child going to the parents. Something has happened, a big trouble, and maybe it's not very big, but as far as the child is concerned, it is big. And they run to their parents, and the parents throw their arm around them and they say, "It's all right, I'll sort it all out." Well, the child doesn't know how it ever could be sorted out, but they know Daddy or Mummy's able to sort it out, and their storm is over. Should we not come as children to a Father? Should we not take him at his word and enjoy the Lord sorting it out? Should we not trust him to sort out all of life's storms? He can do it. And the whole reason for allowing these storms is to draw us to himself, to show us his wonderful power, to show us his care for us. There's that lovely gospel song, "Through It All." If I never had a problem, I'd never know that he could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. I'm maybe not, my memory's not serving me well today, but what a wonderful thing it is. The Lord sends the trial. He permits it for our good. If we didn't have them, we'd never know what he could do. So trust him today. And in that storm, look for the peace that comes before the storm ends. Because I assure you, when whatever storm you're in at the minute, whenever it ends, there'll be another one waiting. You might get a little lull. It might be long, it might be short, but it'll come. And if you can't have peace in the midst of these storms, you'll not have peace at all. But you can have peace in the midst of them, no matter what happens. God is there with us. He's praying for us, and he's there in the midst of the storm, even though times we don't see him. But just because we don't see him doesn't mean he's not there. The disciples, for all the waves around them, they couldn't see the Lord for a long time, but he was still there. And the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And maybe this morning you're not saved. And maybe you're saying, "Well, if that's the Christian life, I don't know." Well, tell me, what about the storms that you have in your life? The storms that you have in your life are not for your good. The devil has put as much into your life as he can to drag you down to hell. That's not for your good. But the Lord Jesus Christ has died. He has shed his blood to save you. You've come to him. You've seen today what the Lord does for his children and his love and his mercy. Would you not like to be one of his children, to be looked after and cared for? Wonderful thing to be a child of God. Wonderful thing to have a heavenly father. It's great to have earthly fathers, there's no doubt. But there's no one like our heavenly father. Our earthly fathers have limitations, but there's no limiting of God. Come to him today. Know the Lord as your savior. The God the Father is your heavenly Father. Wonderful thing. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Let's pray. And Father in heaven, we rejoice today in the words that thou didst. Praise thee, Lord, that they are today.